This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
Uma and Ezra on Top Back, and of course the number to call is 0377109000. You can WhatsApp us at 0187898899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. I apologize for just slightly grinning as we start this segment. It's because there are two things working against us, Uma. It's school holidays, right?
So
I don't know who exactly is out on the road, and it's so hot today. The last thing I want to do is participate in a conversation that's public about something that may irritate them more than the heat is already doing. So hopefully we'll get some great feedback from you. Once again, the number to call is 0377109000. We're asking you this evening, would you go on a social media detox? Now, this evening on Talk Back, we're going to be talking a lot about social media.
Yeah.
And these days, it's often that we find people glued to their screens wherever they may be, in the car, on the train, on the toilet, walking around, crossing the street, around the dinner table, and people are reading articles, spending time on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or talking to their friends and family on WhatsApp. It's become routine to check your phone for new messages and notifications every half an hour or so and scroll through the timelines on social media.
Yeah, it's this obsession with checking and rechecking our phones that some people have found to be excessive and obstructive to leading their daily lives, right? So according to The Telegraph in the UK, the average person has 5 active social media accounts and uses those apps for a total of 1 hour and 40 minutes each day. Mm. And in a separate survey, they found that the average person spends 20 hours online a week, and those figures, with the amount of information that you're exposed to by going online, it can get quite mentally and emotionally exhausting for a lot of people.
Now, if that's you, we want to hear from you. 0377109000. We're asking the question, would you go on a social media detox? And, you know, again, Uma, it's this excessive social media use that's been linked to negative mental health effects.
Correct.
There's a UK survey found that Instagram was the most harmful to a youth's mental well-being. So many people presenting insights into their personal lives or representations of their purported actual lives on these platforms. And, you know, it's hard not to get envious. It's hard not to feel dissatisfied. You feel a little FOMO sometimes. And, you know, it's this sort of exhibition, you're just parading yourself.
Exhibitionist, right?
We've
become, I think, a culture that's a little more exhibitionist than our parents' generation, right?
Yeah.
And let's admit it, we're all guilty of this, taking that Instagram-worthy photo of our meals and posting it online just for the hunt of fun for likes. We've blocked someone on the internet because of their unscrupulous social media postings. I'm sure we have.
Right.
And then, of course, they've got the news sources, sensationalist articles, fake news.
Ugh.
And wouldn't it be amazing just to be able to turn it all off just for a little while?
Yeah, 0377109000 is the number to call on Top Back. We're asking whether you would go on a social media detox, and if you have, tell us your experience. If you won't, tell us that as well. Uma, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about, I guess, you know, I was quite excited about this topic purely because I think in the past 2 months,
yeah.
It's been such an organic process for me to be consciously thinking about not to have this, in my opinion, a rather unhealthy relationship
with
my
social
phone.
Media. Yeah.
Now, part of it is because of the work that we do and the way the news comes about. It appears on my phone more so than any other sort of
Correct.
Device I'm working with. I communicate with my family through like 29 different WhatsApp groups. I'm trying to keep
You're receiving news about, say, YTL's passing or Peter
right.
Bellew leaving MAS. It's coming through Twitter
right.
first, right?
So all of these things. So, you know, I've been away. I was away recently for about a month or so. And, you know, I did a lot of countryside driving and sort of reflecting on a lot of things.
And what was that like?
And so
because I'm assuming you didn't have internet all the time.
That's right. And so here was the thing. It felt amazing. I mean, and what I'm trying to deal with right now, coming back from a space where I'm not checking my phone all the time is I feel like I'm the social outcast because everyone around me is checking their phones constantly. So I'm trying to sort of reconcile the norm that I sort of recently experienced, which is, you know, I'm trying to move some of these apps to the fourth page of my screen so that I don't immediately have access to it. And don't get me wrong, it's been really, really difficult to go. This is not even a detox. This is just trying to reduce the time spent I'm playing with on one particular app. But for those who have just completely unplugged, I'd love to hear from folks who've even tried to do that. 03-771-09000.
Well, I don't know. So I guess you would have noticed that Melissa Idris has not been on the Morning Run of late because she's been on. She's been away in Australia.
Right.
And from what I understand, Australia's internet connection is like worse than a third world country. And so, you know, because she has been on a forced detox, if you will.
Oh, right.
And I think it's quite liberating.
It is. I'm kind of envious of somebody in that position.
I've done, many years ago, I used to write for the New Straits Times, and my editor, the late Rehman Rashid, sent me a challenge once, and he said, I want you to cut yourself off from cable news and social media and all of these things, and then for a week.
What year was this, though?
So here's the thing. This was about 5 to 6 years ago. So it was pre-Twitter fame.
Right.
Pre-Instagram. Twitter being important.
Yeah.
Facebook was still around, and it was still a big deal. People were talking about Facebook. And then, of course, cutting off from cable news and all that stuff, because we were living in it. It was that point where we were living in a time where it's so important to have news all the time, important. What is it doing to your mental state? And I have to admit, the first 2 days were the hardest. I think breaking away from any kind of addiction, right?
Yep.
And the first 2 days of breaking away from a news addiction was the hardest. But by the time you reach day four and day five, there is a zen calm, and you stop caring about knowing everything immediately all the time.
And here's the thing, and it took me a while to reconcile it with myself, that I am addicted to my phone. This thing that I'm experiencing right now as a mid-30-year-old with this gadget that connects me to everyone and everything, this is an addiction that is really unhealthy, and I'm trying to figure out what are some of the more interesting approaches that people have tried to
break away.
To break away and have some sort of balance in their life. We'd love to hear from you about, I guess, social media abstinence. Would you go on a social media detox? You know, do likes make you feel validated? And tell us why you use social media and whether you have any techniques about controlling your use as well.
Also,
03-771-09000.
Also, very quickly, there's a poll going on Twitter right now. So if you go to our Twitter page, you can answer the question, could you go a week? We're not even asking you to quit. Just a week without social media. Yes or no?
I don't know. I think it's going to be, yes is going to turn out a winner tonight. I've just got a feeling on that. 03-771-09000. Jolene is our first caller of the day. Hi, Jolene.
Hi.
Tell us what you think about the social media detox. Have you attempted? Are you curious about this?
The social media detox. Actually, I have done it before. Honestly, I think I've done it about 3 to 4 times.
3 to 4 times for how long?
Yeah.
I love that they're repeated attempts.
Yeah.
a week at least.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's not even 1-2 days. I don't think 1-2 days make does an impact enough, you know?
Yeah.
I've done it a couple of times, and I think it's really healthy for someone to do it because social media is toxic. I don't know about you guys, but to me, it's really toxic if used inappropriately.
So talk to me about how it was toxic in your world.
I'm coming from an 18-year-old. So when I got out from a relationship, it was really hard for me to get on social media because one, all my friends were like, oh, I'm dating this guy. Oh, I'm seeing this guy.
Right. There's all these reminders that may or may not relate to your actual experience, but because the exposure is so frequent, you think everything is just talking about you.
Yeah, exactly. And the worst thing is when my ex was seeing someone else, I just went like haywired. I just blew up.
That is horrible. Like, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because of that pain that social media manages to amplify just by being there, right? With all of these different ways in which it could be like a tweet of what they're doing. It could be a photo of what they're eating. But the disconnect is pretty hard.
And also, Jolene, I'm assuming, I guess, in this world we live in, I guess for someone of your generation and your friends, you know, the likes, the reach, all of that's important, right?
Mm-hmm, it's crazy how everyone emphasizes on it. It really is crazy. It's to the extent that if, let's say, I have a friend who is a social media influencer, and every day whenever she's around, all my friends would be like, "Hey, public figure. And I mean, in her perspective, because she's my best friend, and she was just telling me, like, honestly, I hate how people just judge me because of my likes and numbers.
Oh,
like, to her, she's
interesting.
Yeah, like, to her, she's earning some side income, you know, from it. But
yeah,
in her perspective, she doesn't like her best friends, you know, just like saying, "Oh, she's too high class for us," or "She's not going to be friends," you know.
Right.
So interestingly, that somehow because of being good at what she's good at, there's a different perception that's applied to her.
Oh, there's a judgment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. It's complicated.
Well, Jolene, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. We greatly appreciate it. And, you know, there were so many different themes there that Jolene shared, right? So whether you're just getting out of a relationship, or whether you have you have a big social media following and suddenly that has changed what people think about you.
No, but also, for some people, it's absolutely impossible to get out, especially when it's too closely tied in with the work that you do, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, take a look at what we do. We're a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But we can no longer afford to just be a radio station.
Right.
You can't just say, "Hey, tune in to 89.9. It's not enough, right? Go to our app.
Go to Instagram.
Go to Twitter. Go to Facebook.
Yeah, follow at Ezra Zayat. Follow at Umapagan.
Yeah.
It's just nonstop.
It's nonstop. And also, everyone has to do something. It's not just one person in an organization saying, "Okay, I'm in charge of everything." No, you got to do your part. Ezra, producer Kelvin, has to do his part. I have to do my part.
Yeah.
And it's almost necessary to keep this machinery, this engine moving. Right?
Because everybody tells us this is the future. This is
And not just that, advertisers.
Yeah.
So, like, advertisers want to see, you only got 500 followers on Instagram? That's meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why should we advertise with you?
Yeah. Like, who are you exactly with 500 followers?
But let me just say, though, BFM Radio has 211,000 followers on Twitter, so.
Right, but how
ding dong.
How good does BFM feel about that? Like, because you can.
I don't know. Let me ask BFM.
Right, because BFM will always want more. It's a never ending cycle.
Correct.
0377109000. We're talking about whether you would go on a social media detox. Tell us, what do you think about whether these likes make you feel validated? Tell us about your annoying friends who constantly post up things just for the sake of it, and you know that there's an obligatory like in there somewhere, you know, for folks that you haven't caught up in a while, and you just sort of like the photo just because you haven't seen them in a while.
No. That's true. That's just to acknowledge that, you know, hey, look,
that your
I'm
existence.
Around in my existence. Yeah. We've got a very KL2 has tweeted in just to say, "It's easier for me to quit smoking." So
oh,
I think we know where you're at, KL2.
All right. 0377109000. Would you go on a social media detox? That's the question we're asking on Top Mat this evening. And we've got a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Time for the four T's. Tweet, text, talk, talk back on BFM 89.9.
It's Top Back. Uma and Ezra here. Keeping you company on your drive home as we discuss whether you would go on a social media detox.
That's have it in you?
That's the question we're asking you this evening. And, you know, we have a Twitter poll happening on Twitter as well. Could you go a week without social media?
You know, here's the thing. We're not encouraging you to do so either. You know why?
Why?
Dude, we want engagement. We're a radio station. That's how we measure engagement. Tweet us, Facebook us, you know what I mean? That's the irony of this whole conversation.
Yeah, now this makes me feel bad that we even started this conversation. Okay.
Okay. It's an important conversation, right?
Yeah.
So it's affecting kids' mental health.
Yes. Not just kids. It's affecting my mental health right now. And here's the unique thing about it, right? So I've been reading this particular book. The title's going to come back to me, but essentially the theme is about how everything about the tech that we're exposed to, the apps, the designs, the hardware, all of it, and the entire user experience of it is designed to take hold of, I guess, some of our more sensitive inclinations yep. that makes us addicted to these apps and these phones and these tablets.
It's cunningly designed.
And yeah, and there's a lot of thought and effort and a lot of data that goes into what makes it most appealing for you to touch it in a particular way, reply in a particular context. And it's truly fascinating because we all fall for it. We all love the next new shiny thing and the new app that's going to purportedly bring us closer and connect us with the big wide world.
We're simple creatures, right? I don't think it's very hard to decode the human experience when it comes to what we find addictive. They've been using it and doing it for decades and generations, and television everywhere. I mean, corporations have been abusing us in that way for ages. So when it comes to a smartphone or a tablet or a computer, or the internet, it just feels like the next logical step in doing that.
Tell us, would you go on a social media detox? 03-7710-9000. Our next caller is Nurul. Hi, Nurul.
Hi, Ezra. Hi.
It's Uma. Hello.
It's Uma. Hi, Uma. Hi, Ezra.
So tell us, Nurul, what's your social media relationship like? And what's your relationship like with your device?
Yeah, I used to be really, really addicted to it. I even use it at work, at home, everywhere and all the time. But what works for me, I mean, and I'm aware that I'm addicted to it, and my family members also pointed out. So I've tried several things to actually pull myself away from that. And what works for me is actually, the detox works. Not using it for a couple of weeks, but I tend to go back to it. So what I did and worked for me is I will unfollow or unfriend or do something that will remove unhealthy stuff or unhealthy people away from.
Interesting. Oh, wow. Yeah. I've gone on a few unfollow binge, you try to remove either some news sites or some people that you follow just because there's just that relationship just isn't there anymore.
Exactly. And it's very toxic. And once you remove that, so it's cleaner, right? Your Instagram or your Facebook is cleaner. And I added a few people that are, you know, healthy or more motivating, people who are get to influence me in a positive way, so it's I don't mind being addicted to that and inspires me on a whole lot other things.
So Nurul, tell me this: do you and your family, I guess, practice things like no phones on the dinner table, or is there like a social media blackout time at home?
Not necessarily because you know you can't run away from it. I don't know. Maybe it's just me that you just sometimes you just wanna take a peek, you know. I mean, it really doesn't work. But what works is adding more positivity to your timeline. I think that works for me.
Thank you very much, Nurul, for calling in and sharing that. A nice little tip for us, you know, and follow a couple of, folks or people that you don't sort of really connect anymore.
And not only that, but there are some people who are just miserable online all the time. And I guess that is a kind of toxicity as well. If someone's always angry and raging about something, it affects you emotionally,
right? Yeah, and here's the thing. It's such a weird thing because, you know, sharing that sort of purported negative thing, that's a real thing. You know, if somebody is upset, if they're sharing their emotional experience, and we're not saying that that's a bad thing, but it also, I think, it can be a cathartic process in itself, right? So where do you draw the line for those kinds of things? Because sometimes you get positive affirmation and that some people need that, but you don't need it up to a point where you become dependent on it. It becomes a crutch.
Well, you do and you don't. I think we did have a little bit more thought behind where we would go to share our pain and our problems in the past, pre-social media, right? We'd find
where did we go?
Whether it was close family, close friends, something. Oh, we'd have someone to talk to.
It was a cyber cafe.
Right? Now we seem to be talking to everyone all the time, and sometimes it can have an adverse effect on the other people on our timeline.
Tell us what you think. 03-77-109-000 is the number to call. Would you go on a social media detox? We're asking you whether likes make you feel validated and how do you control your own social media diet. Our next caller is Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hello. Hello, guys. How are you?
We're doing okay, and we haven't touched our phones for about 20-odd minutes or so, so this is progress for us. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the fact that the two of you are on this segment. I keep feeling that you guys should be talking about the latest movies, but this is a nice...
That's tomorrow.
I'll be waiting. Yeah, I just wanted to share my experience because a bit of background. I have an addictive tendency. I get addicted to stuff so easily, whether it's food or when I discovered Big Bang Theory, I just went online and binge-watched.
Right. Right.
And I just wanted to share my experience because a few years ago, that realization hit that, I totally agree with what Ezra said. It was an addiction. I faced it. You know, the first step, like, admit that you have.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it came to a point where I realized I wasn't spending quality time with my kids because I was using social media to numb boredom or, you know.
Right.
Dissatisfaction with work or whatever it was at the time. But this is the thing. And Ezra, you were saying that you were trying to adjust back to the social norm of everybody being on their phone.
Yeah.
I realized I couldn't do it. I couldn't do zero. I couldn't go without
media
completely. But I've come to a nice balance, I think.
Yeah.
I have my Twitter account, but that's for stuff. If something is happening immediately, I find that great. I want to know immediately. I go on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is great for keeping in touch with people that you may not have anything in common with. Like you can't strike up a conversation right now.
In real life.
Right? Yes. They're not in real life, but you know, if they have a baby or something big happens, you want to see that. That's great. And you still have a small part there.
Yeah.
And then my WhatsApp is for immediate stuff, you know, those I don't have 29 WhatsApp groups. I think you need to look into that, Ezra.
I'm addressing it as we speak.
Yes, well, right. I haven't come up to that number yet, but yeah, I love WhatsApp group because those conversations have to happen. And I think that healthy balance is great because when I come home at night, my phone is left in the corner,
mm-hmm.
and I take it that if it's not urgent enough to warrant a call, then my attention needs to be with the family.
That,
and then the next morning, I get up to speed. And
that is a great plan.
That's a great tip, and that's something that's really, you know, something that people can relate to. You're right. If it's super urgent, then somebody's going to call. Thank you so much for calling, Robin. That was, you know, really kind of you to share your experience with us. And you know, this thing of, like, you know, being addicted to your phone, it comes with, I guess, acknowledging it to begin with and then taking the steps after that.
And you know, I think that's fine with regards to people of our generation, Ezra, yourself, myself, Robin. But for the millennials, nobody calls.
So here's,
you know, I don't think calling is even their first instinct. It's probably still to WhatsApp in an emergency.
Right. So here's the thing, you know, as I'm trying to sort of come to terms with this particular, experience with my smartphone, is that, you know, I remember what it was like pre-internet. Right, so I have that luxury and that experience to draw back from.
I remember what it was like when our phones couldn't even text yet.
Yes, so but for the millennials, they don't have a chance because of, you know,
they're natives.
They're digital natives, absolutely. We've got our final caller before we hit the 6:30 news. Joe is on the line. Joe, you want to share with us your particular experience?
Yeah. Hello. So it's about 5 years ago. You know, I was, you know, we had Facebook and Instagram, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So I find myself constantly scrolling down the feed. And every, like, 2 to 3 minutes, I'll be looking at the same thing all over again and all over again. So I was like, this is really not productive and it's hindering from in my work and anything like that. So 5 years ago, I tried to stop cold turkey. So I just deactivated my Facebook account.
Oh, you went for the deactivation route. How did it work?
Yeah, so it's quite surprising. It's like, after I deactivated, my Facebook sent messages to my friends telling me to stop, to reactivate it.
Oh, wow, that is...
Yeah, so so my friends called me up and said, you know, what's going on? Say, everything okay? It's really nice.
Facebook thinks something's wrong.
Yeah, Facebook thinks something is wrong. So I found at that time that Facebook gave us a grace period of 2 weeks
right.
to reactivate it back. If not, it's permanently deleted. So I just did not see Facebook whatsoever. So it went on for about 2 years. So I was out from the scene for 2 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, but I kept WhatsApp because I need to be need to contact people. But
sure.
Just Facebook. So yeah, I find myself having a lot of time.
No, I think that's a really key thing, right? I mean, just to have
time to do nothing.
Yeah, and not just read endless timelines and that go on and on and on.
It's just people arguing and fighting all the time.
Joe, thank you very much for calling in and for sharing your experience with us. We're headed to the news very, very shortly after this, but Talk Back continues right after the 6:30 news on BFM 89.9.
You there? Open your mouth and talk! It's Talkback time on BFM 89.9.
It's Uma and Ezra on Talkback. The number to call is 0377109000. Of course, you can WhatsApp us 0187898899. Also, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're talking about social media abstinence. Well, let's not go that far. Maybe talking about whether you would go on a social media detox. What we've been talking about
diet.
Is, we're glued to our screens and to all of these apps and the way in which we communicate now through photos, through tweets, through paragraphs of things that are happening in your life, it can be very, very addictive, and to the point where it actually has a sort of negative health effect on somebody. And we're seeing that with a lot of young kids. We're seeing that with adults.
And you know what it is? It's filling up the spare time. So we've forgotten how to do nothing. Right? And so we fill up this empty space.
I remember recently, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah,
when
it's
you
a
don't
lot
do
of fun.
Anything. Yeah.
But instead, we fill it up by the scrolling and this double clicking and liking things. And yeah, I mean, so, we had that poll, could you go on a week without social media? It's frightening because 54% say yes and 46% say no. That's a large number of people who are saying no.
I was hoping for more 60-40 or maybe 65-35 maybe. But here's the thing, right? I mean, let me share with you a particular experience while we wait for callers to call in at 0377109000 about whether you would go on a social media detox. Now, let me tell you that from start of June until the end of August,
okay,
I have a particular social media addiction, right? And that social media addiction is this.
It's football?
It's football related. And it's that every morning, because the transfer window happens during this period. So the transfer window for folks who don't follow. So the sport is that where players can move from team to team, and it creates a certain amount of excitement and buzz for the upcoming season.
Yeah.
Now, because these signings can happen at any point in time, you go to bed, you wake up. The first thing I do with my phone is you put in a particular hashtag for your respective team and you see the related news. And of course, you keep doing that every morning because of the time difference. All the news adds up really nice and slick.
Yeah.
But what happens is you're doing it with hope and expectation. And when it doesn't meet that expectation, it does kind of... It creates a sort of down.
It affects your day because it's the first thing you've seen.
That's right. And you're barely up. You haven't had anything to eat. And, you repeat this process for, 3 months on it, and it's really not healthy. And even to this day, when the season has started, don't get me started on that, because there's the football, the actual game to watch. But there's also the news that's related around it and the drama. And everybody loves drama. Everybody loves, those soaps. But for some people, the sport is the soap opera.
So let me tell you what I do to kind of curb the usage of social media.
Tell us.
How it helps? Turn off notifications.
Oof,
so I turn off notifications on my phone.
For all of them?
Yeah, mainly for like Facebook and Twitter, because...
I just turned off notifications for Facebook. It has made me happier.
And turn off the badging of the app as well. You can turn off, how many notifications you have on the app. And so therefore, you only check it when you check it, not every time it buzzes, right? Because that's the most distracting thing, when it buzzes. And trust me, there is nothing world-changing, world-ending that's happening on Facebook and Twitter that you have to respond to immediately.
All right. So we're going to take a call right now. If you want to chime in on the conversation as to what your social media diet is and whether you would go on a social media detox, 0377109000. Najmi is on the line. Hi, Najmi.
Hi.
Tell us what your experience is with social media and how you're dealing with that.
Well, previously, I actually went on a 3-month detox of Facebook.
Oh, right.
One app.
3 months?
Because 3 months.
Very impressive.
I had a fight with my husband.
Oh.
And we agreed that no more Facebook for 3 months. Let's just stop it, because we had a fight regarding Facebook. So
So did your husband go on a 3-month detox as well off Facebook, or just you?
He went for, I think, 8 months.
Wow.
Oh, okay. And yeah. And how did that resolve anything? Did that help the relationship in some way? Because Facebook is evil. It's okay to admit it. It's fine.
It is for us that just at that particular time, but now it's okay. We both have activated our Facebook back because recently he found out that his friend passed away and it was posted on Facebook and he said, I have to reactivate. So we're both on Facebook again.
That is true, yeah.
During the period, it was zen. I had more time for myself. I had more time to do things that I wanted to do. I had more time to read a book, not constantly holding my phone and checking. I like to join these contests where, be the last commenter or whatever. And I'd be like, commenting, and then checking who's commenting. And then I'll be the next person commenting.
Sure.
I wake up, I check it. It's tormenting, but gives hope. And I feel like I had no life back then.
And the weird thing is that even as you're doing it, it's all, and you acknowledge that this behavior is not good, but there is some weird addictive pull that forces you to just repeat the process again and again and again.
Exactly, yeah.
And so do you feel that you have a healthier relationship with your social media platforms now?
Yes, definitely. I'm not on Facebook as much as previous because previously I didn't have my son. Now I have a son, so now I'm focusing my
right. Which good job. Rightly so.
Well done, Najmi. Well done on focusing on the son and not so much on social media. Thank you so much for calling in and taking the time to share your experience. 3 months off Facebook for Najmi.
That's pretty impressive.
8 months for the husband. So here's what got me about that conversation is. When big life-changing events like, a dear friend passing away that maybe you haven't caught up in a while, once that type of news filters through and it sort of stays in social media, you do feel that sometimes that without that particular connection to that particular platform, you're not going to receive that news? Or is that fear not justified? Because
no, I think that fear is justified now because more and more people are using these platforms for things like wedding invitations and major life events, right? Gone are the days where someone is going to drop you a card saying, we would like to welcome our new baby into the world. I mean, that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's a great way to save money on wedding invitations. But at the same time, I think that real world touch is missing, and it's nice.
Oh, let me tell you another experience I have, and it's also disturbing with my social media thing, right? So because of, an online show I did some time ago in yesteryear, there were a lot of folks at the time who were following me on Facebook, right? This was before they had the following button, so what you had to do was add them as a friend.
As a friend.
But what happened was, it became this very, very, very weird thing where I became uncomfortable about adding people that I did not actually know, but I know that they wanted to get to know me because of the show.
Yeah.
But now, it comes to this point where I've got all of these friend requests and I've actually gotten sort of a feedback about how people thought that I was being either ungrateful or arrogant because of not sort of solidifying that digital connection, right? And of course, we had nice conversations face to face, and I told them that I just couldn't add anymore because it was affecting just my entire social media timeline kind of thing. So I've been a little bit more judicious about it, but it is very, very strange about how seriously people take that particular action, right? Whether it's a friend request, whether it's a like, whether it's a comment, it affects people in real, tangible ways.
Yes, but that's because we've come to think of these things as real, tangible things when they're not, more often than not.
Well, we'll find out after this. We're going to continue our conversation about social media detox. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. We have a caller lined up, but a quick word from our sponsors right here on BFM 89.9.
Time for the four T's. Tweet, text, talk, talkback on BFM 89.9.
It's Uma and Ezra on TalkBack. We're talking about social media, or rather the use of social media and what your diet looks like. We've been talking a lot about, I guess, the addictive qualities of social media and asking whether you guys would go on a social media detox. And if you have, what have been some of the more successful approaches and techniques to do so? Because as we've heard from many callers and even from our own personal experiences, we've done it you've done it so many times because generally it's been unsuccessful in the first few times because it takes a while to get some sort of rhythm to actually detach yourself from your usual habits.
And of course, you know, for some people, I guess the quest to get more followers, that's something that really eats at their mind.
Yep.
Likes, shares, comments, engagement.
Let me tell you, with my ego and the number of followers that were increasing, you know, a few years ago, I was genuinely sort of, you know, keeping an eye on that kind of stuff because, you know, it made you feel weirdly good. It's not something that is very comfortable to acknowledge now, but there's a relief right now that I actually don't care about.
Yes.
But it takes a bit of a curve.
You've got to get over that hump, right?
Yeah.
Because what does it mean? What does it mean, Ezra, to get Twitter verified? Does that mean suddenly that your life has meaning?
4 years ago, I would have thrown a party. 4 years ago, if my Twitter account was going to be verified, it would be
a blue badge.
Yeah, but now it's just
I don't even know what it means.
What does that mean anymore? Well, 03-771-09000 is the number to call. We're asking, would you go on a social media detox? Victor is on the line. Hi, Victor. Good to hear from you.
Good evening, Ezra and Uma.
Good evening.
Yeah, for me, going on social media detox is very easy.
Okay.
I have done it hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times? All successful, I imagine.
No, actually, I'm just paraphrasing Mark Twain, who say that quitting smoking is very easy. I've done it hundreds of times.
And what's actually your social media diet like? I mean, do you use it to connect with family and friends? Are you using it for news? Are you using it for what?
Actually, I do have a Facebook account, but I never posted anything. So I don't have to keep track of how many people like my post or how many people share it. I'm a passive reader.
Right.
But of course, me being me, I will comment.
And of course, just Facebook, have you been tempted to try other platforms?
No, not really, because I do not know. I'm not this, technology savvy. So I'm just playing a very passive role, reading mostly.
When it comes to reading, because it sounds like because you don't have this sort of, you know, a toxic relationship with social media, do you find it easier to fill up your time with other activities?
Yes, but I don't actually count, but I think I spend maybe on average about 15 minutes a day on social media. I think that is forgivable, isn't it?
That's very little, Victor. I think that's more than forgivable.
Yeah. Well, Victor, thank you very much for calling in and sharing that with us. Of course, you know, 15 minutes, I would dream of cutting it down to 15 minutes a day. But, you know, some of these videos with Stephen Colbert talking to a particular guest, you know, sometimes you want to watch part one and then, you want a part two.
It's funny you say that. Because, of course, that's a very traditional media thing as well. You could actually watch it on TV.
Yeah.
You could. But you could use your Google Wi-Fi device. You could use your Apple TV, whatever. But you're watching it on your phone, right? And you're watching it through Twitter on your phone.
Our next caller is Yaya. Yaya's on the line. Hi, Yaya.
Hello.
Tell us, tell us about your experience. And from my notes here, you have a particular experience with your husband.
Yeah, my husband is a Twitter junkie. I cannot stop him. Oh my God, he brings the phone in the toilet, wherever he goes. So whenever his phone, you know, the battery is gone, and he will take my phone and it goes into his account that he cannot live without.
Oh, Twitter. Wow, okay. And okay, so is he reading, is he putting tweets out there into the Twitterverse, and then is he engaging?
Or is he reading?
Reading as well as engaging. Like, he has this alter ego on Twitter or whatever, like, you know, going into Malaysian politics, whatever. Okay,
right.
That's one. So what I did was, on our anniversary, I requested that, can you put down your phone for the entire dinner that you're going to bring me out to? And he did. And you know what? That's the most beautiful 2 hours of my life since I married him.
Oh, wow. Well done to you. Yeah. And your husband. And so after the 2 hours was up and dinner was done, did he go back immediately to his normal ways?
Yeah, but I let him. But, you know, it was a satisfying moment. I think these days, you know, we are so engrossed, so engaged on our, you know, smartphone stats or whatever, you know, looking for information and whatnot. So I think, in a relationship, I think we ought to do that. Because, you know,
Set the ground rules, right?
Set the ground rules. So if you're with your child, like if you go back from work, okay, so you have like probably 2 hours with your child, set aside your phone and like concentrate. We need to do that, because if we don't, you know, you keep like, you talk to your child, you play with your baby and whatnot, but then you have your phone beside you. And then you still keep on, you know, checking and scrolling, and that annoys me to the core. So what I did was I deactivated my Facebook 3 years ago.
Okay.
And yeah, and I also have an Instagram. So what I do is, the way I detox is, I don't really put up, you know, on Instagram my social life. But what I do for my entertainment is I look out for other, you know, like celebrities and whatnot. And I don't follow them, but, you know, I check out. So at least, you know, yeah, it makes me feel good. So,
Well, it's interesting that you don't follow them, but you check it out as in when, right? So there's another step that you need to do to actually get engaged into their lives.
Exactly. So when people say, hey, do you know what happened to these others? Oh, really? So then I will look up.
Very, very, very good. Thank you very much.
These are all great tips.
Yes. Thank you very much, Yaya, for calling in. And you know, that one step is so crucial.
No, I think what Yaya said is very true about setting down the ground rules, I guess, when you're in a relationship especially. But you know what's interesting about this thing that you mentioned about a husband and talking about, I guess, tweeting about Malaysian politics and all that stuff? We also forget that this is the first time we've had an avenue to be able to do that, right?
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
as Malaysians.
Yeah.
We would go and talk about it in the mama, but even then we'd be looking over our shoulders.
Yeah.
And now we can be as crude, as rude as we want. We can vent about all the things that frustrate us behind anonymity.
Yeah, there's about 3 decades worth of alter egos that are emerging in our Twitter timelines. Moving on to our next caller is Azizi. Hi, Azizi.
Hi.
Tell us about your relationship with social media.
I'm one of those guys who's always the last update on the group, in WhatsApp or Facebook.
Right.
Because I always do it in interval, like in the morning, breakfast or lunch.
Oh, that's good.
Work. Yeah, so that's the discipline that I try to do every day. Because it's really time-consuming and it's affecting your health, especially you're scrolling all the time, so it affects my so-called wrist and fingers. So it's really not very productive, like, affecting the work. So especially if you're the boss or you're a teacher, it's kind of annoying when you see your in the forum, they're not paying attention, just scrolling and scrolling all the time.
Yeah.
So they're always addicted to just, you know, get the latest, you know, latest bites or the latest news or whatever. So it's not very productive.
And what do you think is, I guess, the best way forward? I mean, you know, whether it's for yourself or for those around you. I mean, because you can see what's happening around you, right?
Yeah. Well, I try to follow, like the other callers, deactivate or unfollow those who always update what they do, what they eat every day.
Yeah.
Because that's not really productive. Now I'm just following those news feed, like National Geographic, all this Discovery Channel, whatever, that's really documentary of facts, you know, that I can rely on the sources instead of following the daily life of other people. Well, except for my family, of course, I will follow whether they're newborn or some things happening. But other than that, I just don't really bother to follow all the other things that are happening in the world.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Azizi. Yeah, you know.
That's a good... being decisive as to who you follow.
Yeah.
I also like Aziz's plan of... a lot of people do that with emails as well. Because
do you interval thing?
Especially if you're at work. You have a tendency to have to reply all the time because that's what's expected of you sometimes. But some people say, you know what? 3 times a day. Those are my email replying intervals.
That's right. It's worked for some people. And I think Gmail's introduced like a pause function as well.
That's right.
That's something to look into. Our final caller of the day is John. Hi, John. Oh, unfortunately, John, that was not the way we wanted to end the segment. But here's I think maybe the final thing that I wanted to share about my social media. This has been therapy for me, to be honest.
I can tell,
you know,
right?
Clearly.
Just feeling, so, you're feeling like a weight has been lifted upon your shoulders.
No, because I think, you know, social media has been it's been such a core part of my career, and I think also just my day-to-day life, right? So it's quite overwhelming in many ways. Recently, the public intellectual Kazim Ahmad passed away.
That's right.
And you know, I remember hearing the news and feeling sort of very, very sad about it because, you know, he was the first author that I published as a book publisher. And, you know, I was...
And probably one of the smartest Malaysians alive he was alive.
Yes, yeah. And I got to have, you know, a very, very nice cordial relationship with him. And there was a part of me that wanted to look for an old photo and share a particular memory online because you feel that that's almost what's expected of you in a particular way. But what I managed to do was just not do that. I just managed to sort of reflect, think about, you know, the guy who was really, really kind and just had that sort of, I did that posting with myself and like friends who I spoke to rather than like posting online and getting, you know, and sharing that news. Whilst it's not such a bad thing, for example, to share that sort of memory or thought, but it was also nice for me to just to step away from that particular thing and say, hey, you know, that happened and I don't need to go to my usual go-to space to share what I think and feel.
And you can gauge people's reactions and I guess their how they felt about a specific person, individual, artist. You know, when Tom Petty passed away, it occurred to me how little Malaysians cared for his music.
Right,
because,
right, yeah.
You know, when Prince died, when David Bowie died,
there you go.
It was all over social media. But Tom Petty, people were like, meh, don't know Tom Petty.
Well, folks, thank you very much for all your calls, texts, and tweets. We've been talking about whether you would go on a social media detox. Uma, very quickly, that Twitter poll, we asked, you know, could you go a week without social media?
You're
yes
going to be very
no?
disappointed, Ezra.
What's the final score? Ooh,
54% yes, 46% no.
Oof, too close.
Frightening, frightening stat.
Too close to call. Folks, we've got the news coming up right after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.